Okay, without more further ado, Patrick.
Leanne's own book is definitely, you should get your hands on it. It's been an influence on me, a very big influence, and you'll kind of notice here in a minute, because I guess my connection to poetry started as a young child, making up song lyrics to songs that already happened, and to see somebody else doing that. So these poems are somewhat political poems. These are pretty brief. This first one is kind of confrontational in kind of the way I talked about earlier. This is called Tough Going. And this is kind of pitting belief directly against memory in a way like diets are marketed. The idea is to advocate that people forget everything that's happened in America and just instead believe in what we're told. This is called Tough Going. Tough going? When your week is over, you'll be closer to your goal. Everything is a part of learning to live in a different way. While it is critical to note some mistakes, it is also essential not to dwell on them. Just move on. Toward the end of this week, take a look at yourself in the mirror. Compare yourself to your before photo. Do you see yourself now? Chances are, you've already lost some memories. Your beliefs have begun to sharpen. If you're analyzing yourself or trying to recall last week, you may notice that your numbers are improving. Yes, it's happening. You can believe more and remember less. Now keep it going. Assess, adjust, and move forward. There's a war on. Take me out with a ball peen, hammer to bash in my skull. 'Cause it's one or two airstrikes, you're dead in this bullshit game. Sorry, I'm putting you through my singing. I make John Ashcroft sound like Luciano Pavarotti. America Eins, that's what this is called. It's pretty self-explanatory. Follow the bouncing ball to wherever Osama will fall. Our might will take it all. To fill the lives of young soldiers with thrills. To inspire our leaders to gobble their pills. There's oil in them thar Caspian hills. I guess I can count myself among some of the unfortunate people in the aftermath of 9/11. I had a classmate from college, another philosophy major at Carolina, who was on Flight 11. And his name is Carlton Fife. He's from North Carolina, and he left behind an 18-month-old child. And the day that I wrote this was actually last week on the 10th. I was reading about the proposed architecture for some of the property around World Trade Center. And one of the designs was a series of five buildings that were designed to be crumpled. And it's a really remarkable design. It was an issue of the New York Times, I guess, 3 weeks ago. It was the Sunday magazine. And it really was pretty fantastic. But this is called Chutes and Ladders, and this is in memory of Carlton. Twisted towers fall, chutes and ladders. You were turned into a view from a bridge. Look at that, them diagrams from the news. You, Mad Hatter, far gone, turned into hat truss into tatters. Into one tower, burned trading towers, long hours. It's all true. Some say it matters. Twisted towers, all of them fall down. This poem is called Do Not Resuscitate, or DNR. This is dedicated to Janet and to other medical professionals who have to deal with the death of people on a daily basis. And what this is this kind of a somewhat of a narrative on a drowning and an operating room, and it's kind of subjective, jumping from one position of subjectivity to another. And the form is that the last two lines of the poem are interruptions of the previous lines. This is called Do Not Resuscitate. You wished you were detached, politician, globe, box, flash, woman, purple, bobbing under field of, prescribe the oxygen flows within. When she was not here, you thought you sprouted wings, flash, her wrist had adhesive that stuck to the, insert the cannula rests within. You rode in back seats, smelling camphor and must, flash, they missed small sections and faster goings, could not keep her, administer the aesthetic. The anesthetic numbs within. You wished you produced snorkels. You hoped, flash, she leapt into the sea without a... Set the ventilator. The ventilator breathes within. You thought you dropped from trees like lightning, like flash. You ate, you smiled, and she was falling out. Watch the pump. The pump beats within. You imagined her. Waiting on benches, fingering wet. Flash, she was open heart procedures, closing, apply the suture. The suture holds the heart within. You bypassed her sterile by passively filling her. Flash, she is dying, processing desires, curved to continue in. Watch the suffocation. The suffocation sets the soul without. I'm going to just have three more poems. This next one is called A Latent Prescience. And if I could get my voice a little bit of a higher pitch, I would do it, but I'm kind of sore. I want to talk about my little girl, about the way she wants to grow. I want to talk about my little girl and all the lives she has to live. I want to talk about my little girl, and so I will, and this is what I say. There was this life, and inside this life a tree, and inside this tree was a mouse, and inside this mouse was a heartbeat, and inside this heartbeat was a spark, and inside this sparking was the beginning of the first explosion and the end of the little girl. And so the little girl, she pulls up her socks and whispers, "This is the train of my surrounding. I am bridled, scraped, unlatched, and in possession of a latent prescience. I was formed from the red clay of your dreams and fired in the realm of the ovens, fueled by your words for me. I am both the shelter and the sheltered and the seasons seeping through. And so as you talk about me, this little girl, or my inspection in your small doctor's office, coverless, out-of-date magazines with wrecks and pieces on the floor, and as you speak about this little girl of small pink flowers, ideal on ice, hands, bench, steel, thighs, trapped in your box, as you ignore the galaxies spinning out of my bleeding knees, and as you wish goodbye to this little girl, you're forgetting which subscription was right for me. So listen to me. You can hear me breathing as I try to run away." This is to the tune of Ode to Joy. This is kind of a rewrite of a friend of mine's poem. His name is Anthony Robinson. He's a terrific young poet, and certainly maybe in the next 100 years you'll hear about him. More singing. "We are primitive formations. Oh, how strange to be something. We shared a brain, our hearts, our livers, so we too could live as one. You were a drowning firecracker, and I was gasoline on ice. When I recall such joyous days, I sing high-pitched tones to my dog. We are primitive formations. Oh, how strange to be something." Thank you. This is the last poem, and I guess this kind of ties together a bunch of things. I love sea shanties, and that's certainly a part of this. And this is kind of an intertwining of language of dreams, pitting flying against capital punishment. And it's kind of essentially a conflict between freedom and violence, which is the ultimate negation of freedom. And it was inspired by a quote of Borges, who said in his short story, Everything and Nothing, "Among the forms in my dream are you, who, like myself, are many and no one. And this is in three sections. You are the one called sage. You hovered omniscient and blind over empires of stolen earth with motions of your hands. On the outskirts of the driest city, your eyes cried, spring water. You dreamt that night of the sound of lyres strumming until dawn. Fever and magic and vision consumed you like grasshoppers, clouding the already haze swelter of a wilting August garden. I will become a mage. I'd hang a rotten lyre. I'd hang a broom and friar. I'd hang to make things jolly. I'd hang Jill, Jane, and Polly. We are coming of age. Paragon, hammer, needle, acrid, chaff, sour. The second symbol, Beth, was greased on our fingers. Our digits were taken while we slept. We will no longer ostend. We unstrung East End monkeys, once tied nooses, dressed in soldiers' clothes. No telling out of what ocean we sewed such threads from, we suppose. We, Oxalis, are from where we have grown, and we return to the phototropic umbrella and its shadow where we will cease. Neither soil nor story can be found in this mirror. Homer, hello. We never were able to sing you goodbye. For you we plant wood sorrel in the sky. Hello, old friend. We are coming home, fading as we fly above the talus. One simian flung dung at the Ganges with roots of missing phalanges. This is not a tale of malice. You will fall asleep to read this. You must keep your eyes closed to see this. Good night. Thank you.
Thanks again, Patrick. For those of you who are still hard copy fetishists, these authors do have books over at the table near the counter, as Drew mentioned, and there's a selection of texts by Patrick also on the Black Mountain College Museum table, hosted by the remarkable Joanne Welch, Joanne Coates. Really? Oh. Okay. Donovan, take it away. I'm sure the authors would be happy to sign their books also if you're interested in such pursuits.
Is again.